What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to talk about the record-breaking, nail-biting game against the Sacramento Kings from Saturday. Got some sound today from Klay Thompson, some news about a former Warrior, and a future Warrior. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a good one for you. The Warriors beat the Sacramento Kings on Saturday night. I know it was 2 days ago, but because of the performance and because of how good of a game it was, and the number of records that were broken, we are going to spend some time on it because it was a beast. The Kings, man, they're pretty good. I don't know. They're pretty good. That young talent is developing. They've got some guys who are star. It's too soon to call any of them stars. But by the end of next year, they might have a couple stars. So we'll see. But good game by the Kings. Going to talk about that. Pat McCaw was waived and is going to be re-signed, and kind of some dirty moves in the NBA as far as I'm concerned, but it's within the rules, and I'm sure that's something that'll be looked at next in the next CBA. But no one cares about the Warriors getting done dirty because they're the Warriors. And also to Pat McCaw, who cares? DeMarcus Cousins was out of town for a couple days. He's back now, and I have a theory on something that I'm going to talk about a little later. I think people are going to like it too. But let's start with the game Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors came in. And again, look, it was a game that I was nervous about. Not because, you know, the Kings are better than the Warriors or anything, or they have their number. But the Kings had played the Warriors tough for two games. In three games against the Kings, the Warriors have won all three. But they've won all three by a margin of 10 points combined. They won one by 1 point, another one by 5 points, this one by 4 points. The Kings are solid, and they play the Warriors well, and they can match shooting, and I believe they lead the league in pace. Something that Steve Kerr and Mike Brown have talked about in interviews recently is that the Warriors, that model that they put together, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, is being copied by the NBA. And other teams are doing it now too, and doing it pretty damn well. Look at the Kings. They implement a pace and space style this year, and they're over 500 and looking for a playoff shot after being a laughingstock for the last 30 years. Okay, that's too much. 10 years, 13 years. I think it's been 13 years since they made the playoffs. But the Warriors, when they led the league in pace in 2015 at 99.29 possessions per 48 minutes, that was the fastest in the NBA. They led the league in pace. This year, they have a pace of 101.57 possessions per 48 minutes. That's the 10th fastest. In 2015, they were taking 27 threes a game, fourth most in the NBA. This year, they're taking 32 three-pointers a game. That's the 12th most in the NBA. So the NBA has changed pretty much thanks to the Warriors. So you have teams that do what they do, maybe not as well, but they still do it pretty good. Like, the Kings do it pretty damn good. And Buddy Hield is legit. De'Aaron Fox is legit. Justin Jackson had the best game of his career. That's one thing I said during the game. I was like, man, it's one thing if you lose to De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, but if you lose to Justin Jackson having a big game, that's tough. And luckily the Warriors didn't. So anyways, on to some of the specifics of the game. I'm just going to go through some of my notes through the first couple quarters, and then some of the history that was made in this game. As we all know, the Warriors won 127-123. Steph Curry had a monster game, a monster fourth quarter, really, to put them put the Kings away. But as far as the game goes, in the first quarter, Klay opened up with a three, immediately knocks it down, and then knocks down a mid-range. Klay, as I've said, and we're starting to see it, and I want to continue to see it. The consistency is happening. He went 3 of 6 from three. He was 8 of 15 from the field. Didn't get much as far as shots are concerned in the third and fourth. He did a lot of his work in the first and second. He was 7 of 10 in the first half and only had 5 shots the rest of the game. And I think he went 1 for 5 the rest of the game. Well, he did go 1 for 5 the rest of the game. That's math. So he was good, but the consistency is starting to show up. And he got his three-point average up to, I think, around 36% now. So it's climbing. I'm sure it'll get back to what it usually is, which is well over 40%. Still has some work to do, though. Draymond. It was good to see Draymond be aggressive. I think part of it is that he knew he could beat Nemanja Bjelica off the dribble and gladly drive on him. And he did it about 3 different times and, you know, converted layups too, which was big for him. Because not only have I talked about him being decisive in what he does, it's nice when he finishes too. He has to score a little bit. He went 1 of 2 from three, which is also nice, you know, considering what he usually does. And the fact that he only took 2 of them was a positive as well. The Kings didn't do the just completely ignore him defense, and I think that helped him get some things going also. He had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. The steal was a big one late in the game that led to the Andre Iguodala fast break alley-oop. KD was KD. You know, well, what else can you say? He did what he does. 11 to 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 29 points. 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks. And one of the things that happened this game is the 9 assists for KD. It wasn't just that he had 9 assists. Every single one of those assists was for a three-pointer. And KD was looking to pass. He got Yogi Ferrell on a post-up, which Yogi Ferrell is barely 6 feet tall. KD has a full foot on him. That's easy post-up turnaround jumper for KD. Barbecue chicken, as Shaq likes to say. But KD waited, finds Clay at the top of the arc. Clay knocks it down. He was looking for the assist. He was looking to make the play. Good pass to great pass, or good shot to great shot, however you look at it. There were a couple of them. You know, he had an open three in the corner. As they're closing out to him, last second, just kicks it to Clay. Boom, another three-pointer. It was the first time in 4 years that a player had 9 or more assists, and every assist was on a three. So KD was KD, maybe even a little extra. This is the 7th game that KD had 9 or more assists in 40 games this year. Last year, he only had 5 in 68 games. So he's definitely looking to distribute more, and on a team with this many shooters, why not? And not just this many shooters, 2 of the best shooters of all time. I will have to say, though, as I am praising his offensive game and the assist, defensively, he was rough. He would help off Buddy Hield a number of times, which was dumb, to say the least. Buddy Hield is the one guy you don't want to leave against the Kings. I mean, they have a number of different shooters, but Buddy Hield, who went 8 of 13, I remember 3 different times that KD kind of left him wide open helping off of Buddy. It's bad. It was bad. In transition, the Warriors were awful also. Just lost, confused. It looks like what they do to other teams, because other teams are adapting to what the Warriors do and kind of copying what the Warriors do. But, you know, it doesn't matter so much because they got the win, but these are things they're going to have to clean up. And one of the worst parts about this game was the turnovers. Warriors had 13 turnovers in the game, all live ball turnovers to the Kings 8. And those 13 turnovers, all live ball turnovers, all those counted for 29 points. 29 points off turnovers. The Warriors had 10 off of the 8 turnovers from the Kings. That was what really kept the Kings in the game. Buddy Hield was a beast. Justin Jackson had the game of his life. Bogdan Bogdanovic is solid, etc. But the Warriors' sloppiness and then inability to stop them in transition is what kept the Kings in the game. The Warriors led by 1 at the end of the first half, 70-69 in the third quarter. The Warriors got sloppy, 4 turnovers, and the Kings got hot. Buddy Hield had 17 in the third quarter, was 5 of 6 from 3, got the Kings a 7-point lead going into the fourth. And this is where the new rotation kind of comes into play with Steph and KD. On one end it's the good, the positive is, okay, Steph will be in to start the fourth. We have a chance to cut into this lead. But the negative is, well, he's going to have to come out at a certain point. And as I was watching that, and I'm sure other people were as well, when Steph was cooking out there, because he had an incredible fourth quarter, 20 points, 4 of 9 from 3, plus 11 in the quarter, you kind of got the idea. Once it got down to about 6 minutes or so, and this game just keeps going back and forth, you got the feeling you can't sit Steph right now. And you looked at the numbers, you looked at the minutes and thought, okay, you know what? If he plays the entire fourth, he'll be up around 39 minutes. You can do that. You can do that. 2 days off before the next game and then 2 days off between the next game and the next game. So you got the feeling Steph was going to play the entire fourth, and they needed him to. And he did. Warriors were able to get the win. It was an incredible game, especially in the fourth. It felt like every shot got answered with another shot, if that makes sense. Basically, Justin Jackson hits a three to put the Kings up one. Well, Steph comes back down, knocks down a three of his own. Steph, you know, drives to the hoop, gets the and one. Then Buddy Hield comes down and hits a three. It was just incredible back and forth basketball. With 18 lead changes, 11 ties, it was just a damn fun game. I mean, it's that much more fun when the Warriors win, but this might have been one of the best games of the year as far as viewing goes. And I think if you're a viewer with no skin in the game, no rooting interest, maybe one of the best games of the year. It was a lot of fun. Great game. Great back and forth action. Warriors are now 3-0 against the Kings with, a 10-point difference combined in all three games. It was great. I want to make sure that I mention a few more things. I know this is kind of out of order, especially as I'm talking about, you know, the end of the game where Steph had 26 points in the second half, 6 of 14 from 3, and 20 points in the fourth. But I want to make sure I mention Quinn Cook, who played well. He comes in, and within the first, 12 seconds he's in the game, knocks down a three on the and one, knocks down the free throw also. He was 3 of 4 from 3, 10 points. I just want to make sure I pointed that out because he's been playing really well the last couple games. I believe he has 7 threes in the last 4 games while only playing 38 minutes. So it's something that I'm intrigued and excited about, and hopefully he can continue to get a little more time here and there, because when he's knocking down shots, that's valuable. That's incredibly valuable. So I was glad to see him get some time and play well. Andre had a solid game. He was 3-9 from 3, 1-5 from 3. I like the fact that he took 5 threes, though. And I know, yeah, we'd rather him knock down more of them, but similar to Draymond, as long as you're taking them, teams will, I don't know if respected is the right term, but if you knock down one or two, then they're going to be forced to come out and guard you. If you let the fact that they're not guarding you get into your head and make you wait and think before you make your decision and, clank one off the side of the backboard or something, that just plays into their hands. When you're decisive taking your shots, that's what's going to work. Jerebko had a rough game. He didn't do much. McKinney, I was glad to see him get some time. Oh, McKinney, he had a, he missed a dunk that was nice. I liked the fact that he was aggressive enough to go for it because it was sweet. And if he hit it, it would have been huge. Tried to dunk on like 3 Kings, got the foul, got to the line. But he also had one where great back cut, great read by Draymond to just drop a dime to him. And he kind of went up before he got the ball, loses it, turnover. So I still like McKinney. I'd still like him to get more time. We'll see what happens moving forward. But two plays that were not completed, but I almost have to give him credit for being there. No, now I'm just being too nice. Yeah, he missed 2 shots. One last thing I got to throw in. Sean Livingston only played 4 minutes, and then we didn't see him at all in the second half. It was a sore knee, and I believe he's day-to-day, and we'll see what happens. I doubt he'll play tomorrow night against the Knicks. Just give him as much time as he needs, pretty much. That's how I see it. Anyways, come on back. Going to maybe play some sound from this game and then some sound from Clay today. And a couple other things going on across the league. Pat McCaw and the Cavs might have played the Warriors a little dirty. But again, who cares? It's Pat McCaw and it's the Cavs. But this is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's crapping in? Just talked about that wild game against the Kings. Some of the records that were set. 41 made three-pointers between both teams is an NBA record. I believe the record before that was 40 made three-pointers. In this game, the Warriors went 21 of 47 for 44%. It's damn good. But the Kings went 20 of 36 for 55%. That's something the Warriors are going to have to clean up, is their perimeter defense, their three-point defense, because it was ugly against the Kings. It really was. They got shooters, no doubt. They got guys that can make shots, but you also don't have to leave them wide open for shots or leave their best shooters wide open to knock down shots. Pat McCaw, as we all know, good transition, Chuck, was technically a Warrior this year, I guess. He did not sign his qualifying offer or the contract offer that the Warriors gave him, both incredibly fair. He just didn't want to be a Warrior. And he handled it kind of poorly, but whatever. It's not up to me. But he ended up holding out basically until the Cleveland Cavaliers waited for the right time to make an offer. And this was about a week ago. They made him a two-year, $6 million offer, non-guaranteed. So if the Warriors matched it, they would be on the hook for about $14 million, $3 million in salary, $11 million in luxury tax. And so the Warriors declined, which understandably so, and strategically, this was the right time to make an offer for the Cavs or any other team that was interested. But what the Cavs then did, because it was not guaranteed and wouldn't be guaranteed until today at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, I believe, they had a chance to cut him without having to pay him. Or pay him for, they paid him for the time he was with them, which was like $29,000 a day, I think. Good for Pat. But they decided to cut him. They decided to cut him yesterday, which makes sense. Maybe they didn't love the way he was playing, whatever. But no, it turns out they're just trying to circumvent. That's for all my Arrested Development fans out there. Circumvent the rules to where, okay, we made an offer, a non-guaranteed offer to get him off the Warriors roster. And we did that, and it worked. They didn't match it. He's not on the Warriors anymore. And now we're able to cut him without being in the whole $3 million that we would have to pay him this year and can potentially re-sign him for a lot less. And that, it looks like that's what's going to happen unless another team claims him or he decides to go to another team. He's technically an unrestricted, well, not technically, he's an unrestricted free agent if no other team claims him. And there's a number of teams that can claim him, but look, as much as I like Pat, if I'm over the luxury tax, I don't want to pay Pat McCaw $3 million. So I would imagine he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I would also imagine he goes back to the Cavs because it feels like this was a wink-wink deal where, all right, we're going to make this offer to get you off the Warriors like you want, and then we're going to cut you before the money becomes guaranteed, and then you're going to re-sign with us for less, and we'll just move forward. But I don't know if I'd trust Pat McCaw because look at how he handled the Warriors situation. And then you think that he's all of a sudden going to be loyal to you. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. It's like dating a cheater. You know, it's like you meet your spouse or whatever, your significant other, while they're dating someone else. So you are the cheater, the side piece. And then you get together with that person, and then you're surprised when they cheat on you. Did that make sense? I hope it did. Anyways, kind of a dirty situation. I don't like it, mostly because I think the Warriors got played a little bit, but oh well, too bad. That's the business. That's the loophole that was there to be used, and the Cavs used it. And if this is the way the Cavs get back at the Warriors by stealing Pat McCaw from them, good one. I don't know. It's like a lot of TV references today. It's like Winston Bishop on New Girl, Frank Sinatra. He either goes way too big or way too small. And I think the Cavs went way too small here. You got Pat McCaw. Good job. Good work. Clay was interviewed today. Little shoot around media availability. And Clay just had some Clay stuff to say. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of Clay Thompson's. Not just on the basketball court, just his life philosophy in general. Which is basically, oh, that's crazy. Let's go get up some shots. That's about it. Here's what Clay had to say when he was asked about things that he likes in life.
What do I like?
Yeah.
Life, food, my dog, my family, my friends, my home, my health. That's what I'm thankful for. That's what I like. My hobbies, movies, video games, and being able to do this for a living is pretty special.
There it is. I've always said I hope you guys find Clay as funny as I do. I don't know. He's got a great outlook on life, and I find him funny. So there's a little piece of what he likes. I know the recording wasn't the best, but things that he likes are life, food, his dog, family, friends, his house, his health, movies, hobbies, video games, being able to play basketball for a living. So I don't know, just a random little piece from today's media availability. He was also asked about the challenge of defending in today's NBA, and he had a pretty Clay-like answer for that one, too.
It's hard. We're not all on the same page, and at times we've been a little splintered this year. I think we're getting better. But it might be hard. Defense might be harder, but we still can do what other teams do to us on offense. So it goes both ways, and just got to adjust, and I think obviously, the game gets called a little different come playoff time, but at the end of the day, we have the most talent offensively, so we shouldn't be too worried about playing the defensive rules.
What have been your guys' main defensive issues? So you kind of mentioned it.
Probably, like I said before, not being on the same page as far as communication-wise, rotating as much as we should, help each other out, flying around, no hesitation. You see it when the game gets tight in the last few minutes. Our defense gets really good, but we got to sustain that for the whole 48.
Is that even realistic, though?
No, but it will take 40 minutes. It's better than take 40.
Interesting take from Clay there as he talked about the new defensive rules and how tough it is to play defense. He basically said that even though it is tough, the other teams have to deal with our offense now and playing with those rules against our offense. And we have the most talent offensively. So, it evens out, I guess. And then saying communication has been tough for the team and not all being on the same page defensively, I guess. And he had a nice chuckle after Monty Poole questioned him, is 48 minutes of good defense realistic? He said, no, but we'll take 40. And Clay started laughing, so there you go. Interesting stuff from Clay, as always. I always like to hear from him, and I thought it was an interesting answer where, yeah, all right, we have to play with the new defensive rules, but so do the other team. And good philosophy from Clay Thompson. Coming up next, I got some wild speculation and some other Warriors news that actually just came across the line here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? Just finishing this thing up for the day. First off, I want to send a quick shout out to Alfonso McKinney. You guys heard me talking earlier about the how the Cavs did Pat McCaw and the non-guaranteed roster contract, blah, blah, blah. As of right now, Alfonso McKinney's contract is guaranteed for this year, team option next year for $1.5 million. I would be surprised if that's not picked up as well. But right now, Alfonso McKinney just got his contract guaranteed for this year. Congrats to him. No reason to think he won't be on the roster the rest of the year and probably next year. So big congrats to Alfonso McKinney, one of the best stories in the NBA this season. And hopefully he'll continue to get more playing time and continue to grow within his role with the Warriors. One thing I want to say that is completely reckless speculation on my part. No sources or anything to back this up. it is all me just being, I don't know, dumb probably. Being a podcast doctor, like I said. And here it is. DeMarcus Cousins is playing Friday night against the Chicago Bulls. Thanks for listening. No. Yeah, it's just my guess. He was out of town this weekend to attend a funeral, so I'm sorry for the loss for the Cousins family. He was in Alabama to attend a funeral, and I've mentioned that these next two games are a good landing spot for him because they're playing weaker competition, and they're at home, and because of the tough run of games after that, most on the road. I believe it's, what, six of the next seven are on the road, and then seven of the next 11 are on the road, and all, except for, I think the Wizards, are all against 500 or better teams. So, that's just me. That's just Charles T. Hamilton telling you DeMarcus Cousins is playing Friday night. Come Friday and I'm wrong, it'll be hilarious. Come Friday and I'm right, I'm going to act like I knew all along. Part of it is, though, so he's back. He participated fully in practice today, and that still gives him three more days until Friday's game. And again, he's not going to come back and play 35 minutes. But it seems like it'd be a good landing spot for him. Seems like he's pretty close. So my prediction, DeMarcus Cousins playing Friday night against the Chicago Bulls at Oracle Arena. Take that to the bank. Don't do that, actually. Don't take it anywhere, you guys. It's all just a guess on my part. But I think it's a good one. I have reasons for it. So we'll see. Hopefully he does. If not, whatever. We'll continue to wait. League Pass games for tonight. We got eight games. I'm going to go with Utah at Milwaukee. Utah just beat Detroit recently to get to 500. They're 20-20. Milwaukee is 9-2 in their last 11 games. So Utah's playing better. Milwaukee is playing great. Giannis averaging like 26-12-6. That's 26 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. The guy is most likely going to win MVP unless Steph kind of goes off, which, you know, is very possible. But also someone else could win MVP, and he's also in the second League Pass pick for tonight. Denver at Houston, and that's James Harden, man. As much as I don't like watching him, don't like his game, Houston's gone 6-1 in the last seven, and throughout that seven-game stretch, Harden is shooting 40% from three, 30 shots a game, 17 shots from three a game, 40 points a game, 40 minutes per game. Just a whole lot of 40s. That's why he's so thick. He's been playing incredible. And we'll see if it continues. They did just lose to Portland recently. And Denver is 26-11. And they have gone 9-2 in their last 11. Houston has gone 11-2 their last 13. So these are two hot teams, two of the hottest teams right now in the game. And Denver is just one of the best teams. Houston's playing well right now. We'll see if that continues. League Pass picks. Warriors play tomorrow. Take on the Knicks. I'll be back tomorrow with a little pregame pod for you. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.